Hey folks, this episode features Reese Green, who is a Seattle comedian who went super viral with his Halloween costume, and we want to talk about it. It was the Randy Johnson and the bird that he destroyed in a spring training game in 2001 costume, and it's hilarious. It was very funny. Reese is a very funny comic, but I also wanted to tell you, Alex and I are on hiatus with the Poor Sports podcast. It's been difficult for him, as you can imagine, and if you're a loyal listener to the Poor Sports podcast, you remember that I had a lot of scheduling issues when we had our new kid. This is his first kid, and we're going to try to figure it out. We may come back. Well, I'll be honest with you. We may never come back. The podcast may be done. This might be the last episode of the Poor Sports podcast as you know it. It was very fun while we did it, if that's true. Alex and I are still cool. The plan right now is hiatus until at least December. Hopefully come back in the new year with some ambitious new opportunities for you to view the podcast, listen to the podcast. This episode, by the way, is on both the Poor Sports podcast feed and the Nobody Likes Casey McClain feed. So if one of those you don't subscribe to, I'll probably start doing a lot more stuff on Nobody Likes Casey McClain in the meantime, and then we'll see what happens. Because life is complex. Follow Alex at AlexSSN. Follow me at Casey McClain Comedy everywhere. But Twitter, also known as X, where I am the Casey McClain. Come see me do stand-up comedy, please. Bickerson's Brewhouse, we have shows scheduled on November 18th, December 16th. I'll be in the Seattle International Comedy Competition for the entire month of November, hopefully. And then, by the way, I'm in a hotel room in Tulsa right now. This is why I'm doing this, because this episode's going to come out, and I didn't have none of this has been explained. Alex is in Charlotte. I'm in Tulsa. Tulsa and Charlotte played a football game that I went to that we just aren't going to get to talk about. Charlotte won. Anyway, okay. Enjoy this podcast. Reese Green, very funny comedian, and the owner and creator of one of the funniest costumes of 2023. So Reese Green, I'll probably have said your name in an intro of some type, but you're...
I'd say cold open. Just... Yeah, well, also, I just want everybody who's watching or listening know that I literally just walked in the door and sat down to do this.
No, I know. There's like not a... No moment. No would buffer. You like anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. You said you were going to have water. You lied.
Yeah. Well, it's in my car because I drank it.
Perfect spot for it to be. If there's more up there, if you need any. Anyway, so you're... coming off of a viral sensation, becoming a viral sensation.
Dude, weird.
Yeah.
Really, really fucking weird.
Yeah. So you, and I guess we'll just lay it out. Everyone probably has seen it. I actually had multiple friends of mine not knowing that you were a comic, not knowing that you lived in Seattle,
right,
not knowing that I knew you.
Yeah.
Send that image to me.
Dude, I had people hitting me up that I was in their like family's group chats.
That's great.
That they were like, does anybody but dad get that? Like, they had no idea, right, that their brother knew me or whatever. And they were like, does dad thinks this is funny? Like, I don't understand it. And they were like, I know that guy. That's Reese.
So let's say you and your girlfriend, Alex, went, yep, to Halloween as Randy Johnson and the bird that he destroyed.
Right.
It was like a spring training game.
Spring training game. In spring training of 2001 to the year. It's been all over the internet now. That there's multiple comparisons because, like, they won their third or fourth year in existence, the Diamondbacks,
right,
and they won the World Series, and that was like the first team stuff going on in the year,
yeah,
in spring training, and that happens, and it was like such a jarring,
yeah,
moment and iconic point in baseball history. Like, now you look back and it's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's such a unique moment, but
it's
they
funny
go
that
on
it's
to
spring training too, because
yeah.
So you, first off, got to be 100% your idea of this costume.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty funny. Some of the comments on the things were like, when the boyfriend gets to pick the Halloween costume.
Yeah.
But I will give Alex credit because I just threw the idea out there. Like,
right,
every, you know, I talk her ear off when it comes to baseball and everything. Sure. And she's down because I try to, I mean, baseball's not boring. It is literally, like, I did a podcast called Baseball's Not Boring, and it's the epitome of it. It's like there's so many interesting things in baseball lore and baseball history and something like that. I was like, this would be hilarious as right. a joke. Also, but it started with Naren calling me the little unit like a year ago. Like he would always,
There was a pitcher here? So Randy Johnson obviously pitched here. He was called the big unit.
Right.
Did you know there was a pitcher in their minor league system called the little unit? His name was Ryan Anderson.
Oh.
He was like a number one overall
currently?
Pick. No, this was.
Oh, back in the day.
He would have been in his mid 20s about the time. He should have pitched with Randy Johnson. He was a bust of a prospect. I'm sorry if you're listening to this, Ryan Anderson.
It happens.
But he was like 6'9", left-handed, similar like.
So just like a like another version of
right,
him.
Right, but imagine being 6'9" and you're called little unit.
He's like, God damn it, what are the odds of this?
How big do I have to be?
He's like, great, I have to pitch with one of the greatest pitchers of all time, who's, I'm sure that was cool. Was he on the Diamondbacks?
He's in Seattle, only in the Seattle system. I actually don't think he ever pitched in a major league game.
Still, even at that timeline, it's wild.
Yeah.
But I will give Alex credit. I said it one time, and I showed her the thing, and she was like, "I'm in." Like it was like hilarious, and also, I was like, "I have to get my costume," but I wasn't like, "You got to do this." It was like free reign of like she's super creative. Like she sews. She does all this stuff, so she made the whole costume. It's not like she bought the under tights, but like everything else she made.
It's really easy to get a Randy Johnson costume, or it's much easier. You can go.
But I had to find the specific, because I was the only thing I couldn't find was the specific hat. But I tried to be accurate when it came to like the jersey. So it was like their purple. And luckily the video of him hitting the bird is pretty low quality, but there are some higher quality ones where you can see he's wearing the purple jersey, the white striped pants. I didn't get the stripes. I looked so hard for like purple striped pants, purple socks. I bought a purple belt. I lost it. So I ended up wearing this shitty black Nixon belt, but luckily it was like people really weren't paying attention to that. But I was like, I would like to be.
I think if you have enough attention to detail, people won't notice the things. That
Right. So it wasn't
actually, not to make this too much about comedy, but it's like when you tell a joke and you know where the laughs are supposed to be.
Right.
And people that don't ever see you perform are like, it was so great. And you're like, but I fucked up this part.
But I missed a couple tags. And they're like, whatever, man.
Nobody knows.
They're like, we're just giving you a compliment. We actually don't give a fuck. You know? They're like, I don't even remember really what it was about. But it was so funny to me. Because, and especially us, we know baseball. We know who Randy Johnson is. They would be like, wow, the attention to detail. He's even got the left-handed glove. And I was like, that's a huge detail.
It is, but also you're right-handed.
I'm a right-hander,
Did you go buy a left-handed glove?
I went to Goodwill,
And
I had to find one that was like not a child's glove.
Right.
Because I was like, I can't afford like a new left-handed. So I was like, I went to a couple of Goodwills. I was like, looking through the bins and everything. And it was also so funny because in my head, I was like, maybe I could find like an old Diamondbacks hat there. And Alex, my girlfriend, was like, you're not. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. And I had to like get one on. I had to get the one from eBay because it was like $60 for a brand new Diamondbacks hat. And I was like, oh, I can't, I'm not putting that much into it.
Well, I mean, it's got to be already a pretty expensive costume.
Yeah. I will say I went on eBay and I, ordered the jersey from like a Chinese manufacturer, probably someone who works for that factory that makes them.
I can tell the stitching was a little off.
It's like such a nice jersey. It's a Mitchell and Ness or whatever, Mitchell's son, whatever the fuck it is, jersey. It's not a like game.
Majestic?
No, it's not majestic. It's like one of the newer like hype.
Gotcha.
You know, they make like a accurate jersey, but it's
I don't know. How old are you?
28.
Okay, good. I was wondering.
I had to think about it for a second.
You could be between 24 and 30.
It's a nice range, yeah.
Yeah, and I would have liked you less. 28's right in the like you're. That's like an acceptable. If you were 25, I probably would have hit stop on this.
Yeah, dude. If I had said 25, people would have been like, he's not doing great. We see him.
You mean looks?
Yeah, yeah. They'd be like,
that's another thing.
25.
I want to say, because your girlfriend, Alex, I met her, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
We worked together with Steve Renazzisi. She came for one night or two nights of shows?
One night, I think. One or, I don't know. Which two nights.
It's almost certain she saw one pretty good show and one pretty terrible show.
Sure. And she has seen me like, this is how I know she loves me, is she has watched me do great plenty of times, but she has watched me absolutely fucking eat it for like 30 minutes at a time.
Sure.
Sometimes. And it's, she's like, man, I,
and not just,
she's like, I get, yeah, right. There we go. 30 minutes would be incredible. That would be awesome. But she's just like a trooper. So she was definitely here for that. But
yeah.
Yeah. She watched me do, so it's funny, before this thing blew up, I was in New York City for Halloween. I was visiting a friend. We had it planned all year. People thought it was like a timely costume. The Diamondbacks just happened
right
to make this run. And I was like, when they made the World Series, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in New York City on Halloween weekend. And the Diamondbacks are in the World Series for the first time in 2 decades.
That's cool.
So I was like, holy shit, the stars are like, if there's anything out there that was giving me a sign, it was like, here's your fucking shot.
Yeah.
To do something.
But is this
with
what
it.
You thought it was going to be? Do you thought it would be internet virality, or was it just,
so
like,
I'm not going to lie, I was like, I told this to my mom and Alex and maybe one other person, but I was like, look, if we do this right, like if we do this well enough, like get the outfit right, and then yeah. like Alex, I had no question she was going to nail the outfit. I was like, it's going to be hot, of course. Mm-hmm. And also like kind of like we're going to throw blood on her, we're going to like do all this shit, but clearly she's the bird in the costume.
Well, but that, so this was, I'm going to stop you for a second.
Sure.
The thing that's the most impressive to me about her agreeing to do this costume, mm-hmm. and I don't want to, you know, you live in Seattle, I live near Seattle. I don't
want
to assign traditional gender roles yeah, yeah. to people. But traditionally, I think when a woman dresses in a costume that's like the sexy version of that thing,
right.
they would like to be the focal point of attention, which it seems like the internet has maybe return the favor on that. Yeah. But how many followers did she have on Instagram before this?
She gained like 1,000. She's already okay. like internet famous.
I've
which is part of the reason why it went viral in the first right. place, cuz she had she's got like almost 2 million TikTok already. So like Jeez. She posted on Twitter and she had a couple thousand already, and she that was what got it going. And so we were like, "Oh, nice. Like it's kind of picking up, you know, like 30 retweets or whatever, mm-hmm. and a couple hundred favorites." And I was like, nice, dude. I told, like, this is great. This is hilarious. People are enjoying it. That was all I want. I was like, I want some recognition of like people thinking it's funny
yeah.
or thinking it's unique or whatever. I was like, that's fun. And then we are heading back to Brooklyn for like, it's like a Saturday night in New York City. I was in Manhattan right. doing a show. And
what show?
Just
let me feel jealous.
Some shitty bar show.
Yeah.
But also, this is a funny story. But I'll get to it. But actually, I go do a show, and it's a Halloween show. I'm the only one like dressed up. Me and my friends are the only ones dressed up. And the host bombs. I go up, and I'm supposed to do 10 minutes. I did 10 minutes. But I was like, to me, it would be really funny if I didn't do any stand-up, and I just went up there as Randy Johnson talking about the decline of my entire career to the point where I'm doing like open mic or bar comedy, whatever sure. it was. And I was like, there were like jokes, but it was very like meta Randy right. Johnson stuff.
It also helped because played in New York.
Because I was, yeah, barely. I don't even think they knew that though.
Well, probably not the people who were at a shitty
but
bar
people
show.
Are like, at the World Series is on and they're showing a post game like review of the Knicks game. No, it's not on at all. Damn. People are on their phones. Like they don't even know there's a show going on. And I am talking about me as Randy Johnson, because at that point in time, I'm Randy Johnson. That was the bit. And so my friends are laughing, and there was about two people in the bar who were like, this is pretty funny.
Do you have video of this?
So, yeah, someone's got it. But it's like, you know, horizontal, like cell phone sure. footage. My friend videotaped it, and he shows me a clip, and I was like, he got it sideways. And he's like, huh? I was like, nah. No,
wait, you wanted it vertical? I'm so fucking old, man. It changes like every 2 years.
Well, I think it's just
for
vertical like
vertical period, or
yeah, for, you know, reels and
yeah,
shit.
God.
But either way, I was like, I'm not even planning on posting it or whatever. But I'm just talking about the decline of my career, or whatever. And I bomb and whatever. And it's, you know, it's funny in hindsight. Like I'm really glad I right. did it, because to me, it's like that's a funny bit to do.
Yeah.
Like people went up and did jokes, and I'm like, I'm literally Randy Johnson doing like like this stuff. And so we walk out, it's got a couple hundred favorites on Twitter, and then we're heading back to Brooklyn, and I start getting tagged, and I'm like, what's going on? And we see that John Boy Media right. like posted it, and I was like, oh shit, this is like it. this is like the rocket ship.
Yeah.
And that was my goal in my head. I was like, I love John Boy. I've always loved them. I think it's hilarious, and I think they're good for the sport of baseball. Sure. And they posted it on their shit, and it starts immediately picking up traction. It was so timely, and I was like, this was the goal. I was like, if John Boy picks it up, I win. Like, that's cool. And they were the first ones, and then like every second it was just...
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing to me, is I saw, like, I've never really seen the ecosystem kind of like of the memes really like
right
grow that way, where it was like it got sent. I was at a show in Seattle, by the way, where Niraj Srinivasan was the only person wearing a costume. Have you ever met him?
No.
Portland comic.
Oh, he's fun.
And Lucy Tollefson showed me it on Instagram, okay. And then I got a text with it later.
Yeah.
And I was like within minutes of each other.
Right.
I was like, oh shit, John Boy. But then I watched as like it kept popping up in my feed, and it was like, because it's also like Barstool had it on a bunch of things.
Yeah.
There's like a bunch of those, but you got to see these, like, what I've realized is you got to be making memes or you're fucking up. Like, you have to make, everyone's got to make memes.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was also one of those things where we had to like do active PR to like get ourselves tagged in it. Like, Alex was being tagged, which was, that is like, she should be tagged.
Sure.
But she was like, hey, this is Rescreen. He's a comic, like former baseball player.
Right.
That's who it, and people started tagging me in it. And then we finally got Barstool, who posted it. Barstool was the worst to like, that's just a bunch of fucking frat guys like stealing people's content.
Sure.
I don't give a fuck if I talk shit about them. Whatever.
I wanted to talk to you about Barstool and like the, we can talk about it in a second. You tell
sure.
me.
But they post it. Don't credit Alex even, which is like,
crazy.
That's the one who posted it. So it's like, for me to be tagged in anything was like bonus, and we tried to work for it, and I'm thankful that I started getting tagged. But they posted it, didn't even credit Alex, and then sent her a DM and were like, do you mind if we use this photo? And it's like, first off, you already fucking did.
Yeah.
And then they sent us this like question, and it was, and Alex works in advertising and paid search and all this other stuff. So she responds with like some, not legal talk, but very professional talk. And you could see they're like, oh shit. And so immediately we both get tagged. I start getting just blown up. I start getting some followers, and I was like, okay, now it's cool. But like the work we had to do to get that, she did. I will give her credit. She did most of it.
Sure.
There was a point where like, but she's also into that kind of stuff. So she was like, loving it. She's like making phone calls. She's got people calling her.
Right.
And there got to a point about an hour later where we're at this like bar nightclub thing. Not like a traditional nightclub, but
I'm sure it's a very hip place.
Of course it is. I didn't know what it was, but we went and I had a good time.
Sure.
And it was how everyone's in costume, but I put my phone on airplane mode for the night. Yeah. I was like, I can't do this. I'm with friends I haven't seen in like a long time. I don't get to see them that often. I was like, this is fun. People here know who we are. Like, people were coming up to me and being like, you're the guy. Like, this is you. And they were, dude, it was nuts.
That's crazy.
One guy came up. You'll appreciate this. So one guy was with, Nick Dundas was with us, mm-hmm. Former Seattle comic, now lives in New York.
Oh, did he move?
He moved. He just moved there a month ago.
I saw him in the pictures. Dickhead. I was like, wow, you guys took a
vacation big. He's a big fan. He just showed up. He was like, you're the guy. And, but someone in our group was with another two people, and they hadn't talked to me, but they saw me. And they see like the purple jersey. They can't see the name, but they see I'm wearing purple and I have a mustache and some hair. And they were like, apparently they looked at me and they're like, Wade Boggs, what a pull. And I was like, that's really funny. They were like, it's a pull from them to know that, but also to look at me and be like, that's a deep cut from that guy.
It's also funny because that's like, he did play for the Tampa Bay Rays, which is like Diamondbacks adjacent, right?
They but were also like, they had some purple in there.
Right.
Yeah.
But they came into the league
around the same time.
Was it the same year?
I think a little earlier. I think.
Was it Diamondbacks and Rockies? Who came in? Or I mean,
Diamondbacks were like 97, I think.
And Rockies and Rays together? Or?
And then Rockies, I have no information about any
of
their history.
You're too young for that, I think. You're too young. The Rockies are like, might as well be the Yankees.
But even interesting, like, even in interest, it's like I don't even care to learn about the Colorado Rockies.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they haven't done anything. They went to the World Series in 07 and got demolished.
Ooh,
in the
they worst had Ubaldo Jimenez pitch well for them for inexplicably for a couple of years.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Should have won every Cy Young for having right? an ERA under 4. Yeah, that, so but that is like Wade Boggs isn't that like I get why they would
it was just
that.
A really funny pull yeah. in the moment where it's like it was it's pretty like, clearly Randy Johnson.
Right.
Like I even like kind of look like young with the mustache and the hair. So it was
but
like
it's close enough that I bet they came up with the confidence. That, I guarantee you they weren't like if I'm guessing. They mm-hmm. weren't like is that Wade Boggs? They're like, oh, fucking Wade
That's
Boggs.
What they did. Yeah. They never talked to me. They, right. This was said to someone in my group when I wasn't there.
That's
like,
funny.
And so that they and apparently they did. They were like, Wade Boggs, nice. That's a real deep cut. And I was like, fuck. All right, cool.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was interesting. Like as the night went on, like people just blowing my shit up.
Well, so your girlfriend already has a big social media following, which right. is kind of interesting. I thought. From her personality that she wasn't the kind of person that had a... Because I met her.
So this happened a few years ago when she blew up, like during like COVID lockdown.
Sure.
She was making, you know, like political stuff and it kind of just blew up.
Gotcha.
And that jump started her stuff on social. Like when this happened, she was like, I got to like unprivate my TikTok now, like to make a thing about this, which like kind of blew up a little bit, but... She doesn't really do that stuff anymore.
So but my question, maybe she's seasoned because so anytime I have a video that's doing well on social
she's a pro
media,
now. She like,
right.
Yeah.
When I have a video that's doing well on social media, I have to do the thing you said where it's like, I got to put my phone away.
Right.
Because I'm never going to give my wife any attention. We'll be out at dinner or something and I'm like under the table going, 75
yeah.
new likes, 12 new followers, you know, whatever. Like the
So she was doing that because it was like such a blow up.
Right.
And she like. My shit was blowing up. I cannot imagine what her my phone if it was my post that had me tagged on everything from the jump, I think my phone would have broke. Like I have like an old shitty Google Pixel. Like it would have just exploded.
Right,
it would have overheated. So I was just like, oh, this is really fun, but like in my head, I was like, nothing is gonna change if I don't. Look at my phone for a few hours. You know what I mean? It's not like I didn't look for two
days.
No,
it's a very mature outlook, actually, which is I'm amazed to say that about you.
But I will thank you. But I will say, like, it also helps that I had the like mindset beforehand where I was like, there is a very, very real chance that this could go viral. I didn't expect it to go as big as it did.
Yeah.
But I was like, I gotcha. I'm not gonna lie, I did think John Boy would post it, but I didn't
That's
know. But in my head, I didn't think past that because I was like, John Boy's like the
I get yeah
the top.
To me, I'm like, who? How do you even get it to John Boy? Is my where I would fall? And right. obviously,
well, I did tag them and we.
Oh,
were,
you did.
Oh, my post because I posted before Alex, but
gotcha.
She had the same photos, right? So it was like she. I knew the baseball accounts. That it was like Talking Jake, John Boy, Diamondbacks. You know, hashtag World Series, whatever it was. So it did start getting some likes from like my friends and whatever, but then she posted it and she had a couple thousand. So like they just started.
Cause so between the all the accounts, I mean, there's gotta be just like truly millions of people have seen this.
Just that tweet, like 3 million people have seen her tweet, just that tweet. And it's been, dude, it is in Barstool. I multiple Barstool posts, John Boy. I had an article in USA Today. I had an article in Fox Sports.
Wow.
Dude, so...
An article like they interviewed you?
No. USA
shit.
Today,
you,
I will...
You kept the exclusive for me? I know you were on a podcast. I saw the clip. But so, outside of that, the exclusive is...
So this... Yeah, podcast. I haven't had... That podcast, I have some stuff in the works moving forward that's really cool.
Oh, cool.
But the USA Today... Because that was... I saw that like... early in the next morning, like after we had gotten home and everything, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But USA Today was the only people who named me and Alex.
Wow.
And then credited me with like Seattle comedian Reese Green and no thanks. They weren't like Alex's boyfriend. It was, or like Reese's girl, like what, you know?
Yeah.
Like everyone was just like, here it is. And they, but I was like, oh, that's like real journalism. Nice. Like they looked at our pages because it says it
right
there. So they were like, cool, let's give them some, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was cool. But then it got to like,
I saw Sports Illustrated posted.
Sports Illustrated posted. MLB I don't know how Network. Much cred they still have, but that was pretty cool. Well, for me, like, I was like, that's
yeah,
for, nice.
Again, yeah, I get like I'm 100 years old compared to most of the people who are looking at right, this thing. Right. But
that was cool for me, though, Sports yeah. Illustrated.
Yeah.
And we were also, me and Alex were both like, this isn't the way I would have guessed you would have gotten into Sports Illustrated,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I think I saw something from like maybe a family member of yours where you were on MLB Network and it was like.
It was her. It was Alex's former boss
oh, really?
Sent her a photo. And I was like, that's cool as fuck. Because in my head, I used to fall asleep watching like,
right.
you know, whatever they call it, quick pitch or whatever. And it was, and it's like, I never would have thought, like in my head as a high schooler, you're like, hey, you're going to be on MLB Network in a few years. And I'd be like, I made it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just wasn't playing baseball. Right. I'm just dressed up as a Hall of Famer. so that was still pretty cool to be like on MLB. So they were talking about it or whatever.
Yeah. And, that's, I mean, it's amazing.
And all the clubhouse guys that like, I have some friends that are coaches down in Arizona doing like fall league stuff who are like with the Chicago Cubs and stuff like that. And he's like, they're all talking about it.
That's
and,
fucking great.
And then my buddy Duran was like, oh, that's my boy. And they were like, you know that guy?
I know. Well, that was the thing that was funny to me is people would send it to me and I'd be like, I know that guy. And they're like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, he's pretty accessible actually.
He's not that. Very accessible.
I will say, I do feel good asking you to do this knowing that before this, I told you I thought you were funny.
Thank you, man.
Because I hate...
He's lying, by the way.
I know. I'm trying to make myself not look... I'm a star fucker, and here I am. This is a star. Yeah. You've been launched into stardom by this thing.
Dude, I did like that you messaged me, and I ended up tweeting about it, but you messaged me, and you're like, I'll even throw you some gas money, despite your virality. It's like, I have made no money from this. Oh. Like, I don't know why people think that...
Oh, no, I didn't think you made money.
No, I know, but that
was
funny.
I think I might have been referencing your tweet.
Oh, really?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how it went.
But other people have been like, dude, I hope you're making money from this.
No,
it's like, I don't even know how. That means then Randy Johnson should be making money from me looking like it. It's like the whole, it doesn't make sense. Advertising money.
I've been watching how your followers have been growing, and it's not at a rate, like it's doing good.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
I gained
a
couple hundred, like 200 on Instagram, which is probably my most active social media, which is good.
Right.
So
that's good. It's a whatever. It's the good one supposedly. But the big thing is I know it's not enough to be like, oh, now he's making $40,000 a month.
Right. Dude, I would love that would solve all of my problems.
Right.
Well, not all, but like, you know, financially, yeah, that would solve all of my problems.
Yeah. No, but so I'm just saying, I feel like I don't want it to feel like I'm like trying to, I thought you were funny the whole time. I'm going to say nice things about you.
I also don't, this is fun for me too. Like,
right.
I like doing these things. I like talking about baseball. It's
yes.
fun. Like,
I want to talk about more baseball, by
the
way, because I've actually wanted to talk to you about baseball for a long time on a podcast, but you just never really reached a level of relevance.
Yeah. And now I can get you like 15 to 20 more views or clicks. Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, what a drop. No, but I do feel like this is why I like to tell people they're good before they're like.
Yeah. That's like, why I go around at every single shitty open micer I'm like, hey, man,
no.
You're really good.
I make a really serious point of when I think someone's funny, telling them they're funny. And there's a lot of people in this comedy scene who I have not told they were funny. But you have a joke, the astronaut joke, which I'm not going to give more of it away. Go see Reese.
Oh, you can. I don't do it anymore.
You don't?
No.
Why?
I just talk about other things now. That was like the dumbest joke.
It was, oh, fuck you. It was, I love
it.
It
still
joke.
Is fun. It gets some laughs, but I don't want to do it anymore. I feel like I'm in the point of my stand-up career where I've finally gotten comfortable enough on stage to like have some energy and talk about what I'm also as a host, like those are different sets. I might do it as a host or something, but like,
interesting.
If I'm featuring or doing like a long set, I'm doing stories. I'm talking about baseball for the first time ever,
that's
which is
great.
Like, and I, it's funny.
Were you
it's
doing
like
that before the,
yeah, like yeah, okay. the last like 2 months though, like something I did that Montana festival and some stuff just like clicked with like confidence and these other things, but like just being able to stretch out and like be myself on stage instead of like, hey, what's a setup punch? Like, what's this like thing I can do to get a laugh when I'm not really comfortable on stage, like that was one of those things that was,
well, that's one of the things about going up and doing jokes as Randy Johnson. I think anytime you can challenge yourself,
the way
I try to challenge myself is I like to do comedy in places where comedy isn't normally done.
Yeah,
like that's really fun to me. I like to go places where they don't
like inherently love me. That's why I like to go to Capitol Hill.
Right.
And I know that I'm starting at negative 10 when I walk on stage.
I almost started a fight at this show because there was this New York douchebag with like hit, like some like, you know, older, like not older, but like 50s probably. And he was like, right before I went on, some guy is trying to watch the show. And this dude is like drunk with his like wife, who's like definitely with him for his money. Sure. Like you can tell. And he like a very New York exchange, but the guy was like, "Hey, can you please be quiet? I'm trying to like."
This is great. This is what stardom looks like, is they're vacuuming in the background of the podcast. It probably won't sound that crazy. Yeah, it won't
but
sound.
But someone's just full vacuuming the hallway. But I'm bombing because nobody gets it. Half the people just aren't paying attention anyway.
Right.
The host didn't do me any favors. Like. He was dressed as Batman, and he was on stage talking like this. And then, like, within like 35 seconds, he's like, "So dating's crazy." And it's like, "What are you doing? Like, just keep doing it." He's a funny guy, but it was like not in that. It's like it's hard to host a shitty free bar show. You know what I mean? But this guy is like, "Hey, I'm trying to watch a show. I can't really hear you guys. Are being kind of obnoxious, whatever." And the guy's like, "Hey, it's plenty of comedy clubs in fucking New York. Go see a show or whatever." And it's like, very valid point, but it's like,
there's also one happening right here.
There's also one right here. And it's like, you're being clearly disrespectful.
Plenty of bars
and,
with whatever you're watching on.
Right. And I'm sitting behind the guy who's like, and the guy basically tells the guy to go fuck himself. He's like, just super aggressively telling the guy to fuck off after politely being like, "Hey, man, I'm just trying to. Just watch the show. Just trying to hang out and hear." I can't even hear what the guys are saying on stage.
Right.
And so I go on and I'm bombing or whatever. And then I just get to the point of bombing where I just see the guy and I just call him out. I don't know why, as Randy John, but like I just call him out or whatever. And then the guy starts just talking mad shit to me. Like I start talking shit to him as if he's like, "Oh, now we're talking?" I'm like, "Fucking yes. What do you think we're doing here?" Like I got some laughs talking shit to him. But it's at the point where it went so viral where like I had this horrendous bar show as Randy Johnson and nobody's paying attention, but it went so viral that everybody who was on their phone at that bar statistically probably saw it at some point, and they were like, "Is that the guy who I just fucking saw?" Like that guy who got pissed at me probably was like, "There's no fucking way, like that guy is going viral now."
That's so funny.
Yeah, so it was, yeah, that made
that's
me
like
feel
almost like for him that's almost like some Borat. Like,
yeah, right.
Like he's like this fucking yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But I'm glad that I committed to the bit of like, you know what? I'm just gonna do this as Randy Johnson. And no one's gonna get it right now, but it's funny for me, especially in post, you know?
Well, especially like you're in New York. It's the thing about New York that's nuts. I've only done one show ever in New York. I did a show, what's it called? Beauty Bar on.
There's a lot of bars out there.
Yeah, well, it's called Beauty Bar.
Okay.
And it's like the audience was my wife, like four gay dudes.
Okay.
And a couple other people.
Did they know there was a show?
Yeah, but they weren't.
That's a good first step.
Yeah. No, it was like I got hooked up by a friend of mine who's connected in New York comedy. I got like, it wouldn't be a show. Like if I moved there, I probably would have to wait months to get on the show.
Right.
But I called in a favor. Anyways, I had like the host was great.
Mm-hmm.
I had like the fourth best out of seven sets on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, it's crazy. Like even some shitty host of a bar show is good in New York. It's so intimidating. Yeah, yeah. And then the next day, I found out that like he posted that the guy, I friended him on Facebook, and he's like, "Doing Colbert in 2 weeks." And I was
like,
"Oh, it's
like a legit."
God.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that guy's name is Jeff Arcuri. Now he's like selling out clubs across the country.
I don't know
like,
the name, but I might recognize the face or something.
Yeah, probably. He does. He's got a bunch of like crowd work clips that are.
I
viral.
Think I do know. Is he a younger guy?
He's probably in his like mid 30s, would be my guess.
Okay. I think I know you're talking. I think I'm not going to lie. I think I saw him host a thing too. And I was like, this dude's really good.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
It was like, he was like a house comic.
Right.
So he was just doing a spot, but like hosting and kind of just getting things along. And I was like, oh, he's very funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very funny guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was annoying to me that this like nothing show had like a great comic on it. And I was like, oh,
he's very good.
Yeah. It turns out I'm not the only one to notice this guy is good. Yeah.
But it is so funny to me too, that every comic on that show watched me and they're like, I feel bad for that guy. That guy's he'll get it someday. You know, like they just watched me not do any jokes, and it's like they're like, ah, he'll figure it out. Hopefully, yeah.
Well, also
know?
Just comics don't like baseball. I think there's like you, Josh Firestein.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's it that I know that like really love baseball.
Yeah,
and. I know other people who are like, they kind of like the Mariners, or like the Mariners are their favorite team that they watch almost never.
Yeah. They're like they're my favorite team because I live here and I don't have one at all anyway.
Which is kind of surprising to me because baseball has like, there's day, like for the comic lifestyle, baseball's okay. It's, you mostly can watch a season in the box score. You don't have to watch three hours a game every day. You can, there's day games.
Yeah.
On the weekends, there's it's like, I don't know. And it's all like stories and shit.
Yeah.
That,
anyway,
though.
I love watching baseball.
Yeah. How are, like, have you found the same thing? You and I have probably met different comics in the world, and you're like one of very few that I know.
I know a couple people who are into it, but it's because I'll talk about it. And like, it is so interesting to me because I'm just now at the point talking about my baseball career on stage.
That's great.
Where people that I have known since I moved here, because I was like, this is such a deep topic. This was my entire life for 24 years, like my whole life, basically. My dad was a coach. And then once I really started playing, he kind of sat back and watched, but it just kept going. But people are like, you should talk about it. I'm like, fucking no shit. I should talk about it. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But now I'm finally starting to figure out how.
I heard this Colin Quinn quote that I'm going to bless you with.
Thank you.
I'd said it to Sarah Colonna a couple weekends ago, too, because we were talking about something, and she's like, I don't know, it feels like too specific. And his quote is...
I'm Colin Quinn.
Yeah, I'm Colin Quinn, and this is Jackass. I don't know. Is that how it goes? In the specific is the universal.
Right.
So like nobody else in the crowd will have played professional baseball.
Right.
But they will have had a job. They will have played a sport. They will have had an interaction with somebody that played baseball that is probably a douchebag, you know?
And the relatability is where I was like, how do I find a way? And also when I was I haven't been doing homie for like that long, like in the scheme of things. So it's like, I know we've both worked with comics who are great. And when you see great and you've worked with it, it's like, oh, I know I don't know how to talk about this yet. I know I don't know how to wrap it up. I don't know how to relate to the audience with it. And it's pointless for me to go up there and be like, I played base. It just sounds like I'm being a baseball douchebag.
Right.
But one of the things that it's this story about how I never really related to major leaguers. Like when you're younger, I never had like that idol that I looked up to, right? It's like I never had someone that I saw playing major league baseball and I was like, that could be me someday, right? Like I never had that. And like my point of wrapping it up is like a couple years ago, Danny Duffy, he was a pitcher for the Kansas City Royals, he got arrested for a DUI in a Burger King parking lot, and for the first time in my life I was like, that could be me. Like for sure that could be me. That could be me tonight, you know what I mean? Like have to learn a good curveball for that. Like and so just shit like that where it's like, oh, it's funny to me, but also like genuinely relatable of like they're human. Like
well, but I also think that like the thing that athletes have over, and I'm putting myself into this category, if you're watching the video, I'm sorry to tell you, I used to play sports a lot for a similar amount of time. I played baseball until I played up through high school, and then I played that Puget Sound Senior Baseball League, and I was gonna like try out for a college team, and my, you know, classic story, hurt my shoulder. Everyone either
showed up and you saw how they looked, you're like, actually I'm not feeling too hot.
But back then I was like very thin, and I was like not, you would not, it wouldn't,
it's a cool
as,
thing to say out loud,
it would not be as much of a joke to imagine that I played I think one of the things that former athletes have, people who have competed in sports, is you learn to fail over and over and over again and not stop trying to get better, right?
Right, yeah.
And so...
And some people do, and that's where... That's like the echelon of what level you get to is based on like how you react to those things. Same with comedy. It's like you could do some open mics and think you're killing it, and then you go do a couple, you know, whatever, showcases, whatever, and you bomb. It's like, I know so many people that have... Same with you, how like, oh, I don't know where they're at anymore.
Right.
Like they're like, they started not doing great and it's like, oh, they're done now.
Yeah.
And it's the same with sports where it's like you have a couple bad outings and then it just gets in your head and then you think you're bad and you're like, well, I can't make it to this next level.
By the way, that's why it's such a betrayal to me when a comic sees someone else bomb and they start talking about it like...
I do. If I really don't like the person, I will sneak some thoughts in. But it's usually jokes. It's not like, I'm better than that. I'm never that guy of like, oh, I'm better. It's like, dude, Also, it took me so long at the beginning of my comedy career to even get laughs. Like, so long. Like, it was horrendous bombing over and over and over. I love how people are like, I killed the first time. And I'm like, first off, no, you didn't. And also, like, that's a wild thought to have.
That's even, I would never say I killed the first time, but
you can do well, for sure.
No, I thought I did well, and then I went and listened to it. Like, 3 years in, I went and listened to the day one. I obediently record every set on my phone. And I went back and listened, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. Like, why would you think this was good? You weren't getting laughs. You would get, like, you'd get, like, a couple people in the audience laughing.
I got it, yeah. They're like, that's
funny. On some of the punchlines, you know? And that joke actually, like, would go on to become a joke that I told for a long time.
Right.
But... it sucked that day. And you need half the delusion and half the ability to like absorb failure. And
I think I have this mindset too, where it's like, if you, first off, you can't be great unless you are, some people are gifted and it's, they'll never be bad. It's like, I'm not that guy.
Yeah,
a lot
of
people,
those people get so much less interesting. Like Dave Chappelle.
For real.
I think Dave Chappelle is maybe the most talented comedian in the history of comedy, but like, and I, you know, I don't even like talking shit about comics, but like, I have found most of the stuff he's done since becoming famous to be like mostly not compelling. I thought like that when he put the four specials out in a year, I thought combined that was like one great special.
Yeah.
And I think like the one in the comedy store,
yeah,
where it was, he ended it by talking about the book.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe
the bird revelator?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's what. And that one I thought was like interesting, but maybe not funny. Like,
but
that.
It also gets to a point where it could evolve to a, like, he's a stand-up comedian and it's looked at as stand-up, but in, you know, looking back and whenever it's in his head, it might not be stand-up comedy, but it's, you know, discussion with jokes in there, and he's a phenomenal public speaker. He knows how to hold attention.
It's the same way that like,
also you get a huge platform like that. It's like people will listen to what he doesn't have to be that like, you know,
right.
Charismatic, charming, like funny, skinny black guy. It's like, he's like, people fucking know me now.
Like I grew up, I loved Ken Griffey Jr. growing up. Ken Griffey Jr. famously,
and now you hate
like,
him.
No, but I love him. If we would have had a boy, we have two girls. If we had a boy, we were going to name the boy Griffey.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr.
His son, Ken Griffey Jr.
His first name would have been Griffey. Middle name would have been Jr.
Do you have two girls?
Two girls, yeah. Okay. And it's fucking, we're done. I'm cutting my dick. I'm
they might
the
get
whole,
to your level of baseball.
Griffey famously never stretched.
Okay.
And so I think
I'm
it shows.
Do that.
No, my point is that this guy is like a prodigy talent.
Sure.
But he didn't put in the work.
Right.
And later on he got shitty.
Yeah.
And that's my point. It was like, I almost think that like,
it's like
prodigious
how good
talents,
could he have been? And he's already one of the best players
of
all time. Yeah.
But like the prodigious talents, like sometimes you have to also have a work ethic. That's why guys like Michael Jordan, they're like toxic individuals.
Sure.
But that guy had both.
Right.
Like Kobe Bryant had both.
Yeah.
Even
LeBron, like he's got that talent, but he does everything in his power to invest in himself and like stay healthy, stay
absolutely
good. Like the fact
he's
that
probably
he's
probably not a blast to hang out with. You know what I mean?
Very true. Yeah. But he is a funny guy because he's so goddamn corny. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, he's like if Russell Wilson had more championships.
Oof, Russ Wilson. I'm not a big football guy, but I know I don't want to listen to anything he has to say.
What? So you, the other thing about when you play baseball growing up is at some point, we all have to give up on the dream of being a pro baseball player. And that includes guys who become pro baseball players.
Sure, yeah.
They eventually even
have to get, yeah.
They have to quit
you have
at
to
some
find,
point.
Some guys find the time, and it also becomes it's a mental game too. Like, it is stressful. I was at a point where it was more fun than stressful. Like, to me, I was like still at the top of my game and like having a great time doing it because I was doing I had a unique career of like doing what I did. So I was like, this is everything I could have gotten out of it, but I was a pitcher, so it's like when you're international, you're going from season to season to season. There's no downtime. Right. And so as a pitcher, starting pitcher, throwing, you know, 80 to 100 innings in a, it's not a full
right. year.
It's like a Division I
but
season.
Never taking a break.
But you don't have that downtime to rest and, like, you know, build and grow and whatever. And it's like my shoulder was like to the point where it was almost surgery. Like yeah. things are starting to tear. And it was so, it's the only time I've ever felt pain, like with baseball when it comes to throwing. Cause I got a flexible arm. I've always been good with stretching and like maintaining and being healthy. But it's like, that was the first time I was like, this hurts so bad. Like yeah. I couldn't throw. And it would, like, I'd have to take some time, do some rehab, come back, and I'd be fine. But it was like, I had an offer to go back to Australia, and they were like, we'll pay for the
visa.
Well,
talk about the whole career, though, because you...
So, okay. I'll start in college, because I was a late bloomer.
I started in high school.
Okay. High school, 2.5, 3 years of JV baseball.
That was me, too.
Never got the real credit. I think I was on varsity my junior year, but it's like, you don't play, right? Like, I'm just watching people who I'm like, and in my head, I was like, I have one friend on the team, one or two friends that I really thought were friends. I kind of got bullied because I didn't go to that school. I went to a performing arts high school that didn't have sports. So it was like, I played for my
Reese,
local.
This is crazy how similar. All right.
I
didn't do that quite, but that's crazy.
And so I went to this performing arts high school. I did theater, and it was like, I loved doing it, it was a small, like, 600 kids at the whole school. So I played for the big, like, 4,000 person high school that I was zoned for in my town, Vero Beach High School. And I didn't really have any friends. I wasn't great, but I got to a point where I was like, mentally, I'm like, I know I'm not bad.
Right.
And there was a bad head coach, and it was like favoritism, all this stuff. I'm not going to make excuses, but it's like, I definitely should have been playing more than I was.
Sure.
You know, but in my head,
well,
I was
like, you became a professional baseball player. That's a pretty good fuck you to that coach.
Right? Like, and so I was like, but also it gets even crazier because my senior year, I just become the number one guy. Like, we get a new coach. He's like, I don't know what the fuck has been going on. You're the guy. And I started to develop. They worked with me a little bit, made like 8A, all state, like all this stuff. But I was a late bloomer. So, like, I didn't
What's your repertoire in high school?
Fastball, changeup, very okay slider. Okay. Like, just, I never threw a curveball when I was young because my dad was like, I'm not teaching you how to throw a curveball at fucking 12, dude.
Like, it's funny. That's like very much of that because you would have been like, what, 2013,
I graduated high school.
So that's like, there was a period. I remember it because it happened during Felix Hernandez's career.
Right.
Because he started out when he came into the majors.
My favorite pitcher of all time.
He's amazing.
That's who I model my game after.
Oh, really? Yep. Mine is a much less. Mine was Joel Pinheiro, who also pitched for the Mariners.
Nice.
But also,
that's a guy. That's really funny. That's a deep cut. Right
yeah,
there.
It
that's
is.
My next Halloween costume.
Just Joel Pinheiro. Yeah. Now you got to look up who Joel Pinheiro is.
Yeah.
They were both guys, though, that they both had 12 to 6 curveballs, like knuckle curve-ish.
Right.
And Brian Price, who became a manager, probably is still around baseball.
He was with the Rays, right?
He.
Am I thinking of someone else?
David Price is a pitcher.
But Brian, I know, but
Brian Price was the pitching coach for the Mariners. He was the head coach of the Reds at a time.
Reds, that's who it was.
Yeah.
I knew it was like a smaller market.
And I think it might have been when Trevor Bauer and Kyle Bodie were over there, the driveline guy.
Yeah.
So under Brian Price, every Mariners pitcher stopped throwing curveballs and started throwing sliders. Clint Najat. Did you ever know Clint Najat? When did you play in Australia? I guess he would have been way before you. I believe he was Australian. Joel Pinheiro, all these guys came up. Felix stopped throwing it. Then Felix starts having elbow problems. I was a big curveball guy. I had a good curveball. That was one reason. But I also thought it was like, it's way less bad on your elbow. Probably worse on your shoulder.
Right.
But less bad on your elbow.
And now I think a slider is worse mainly because of velocity. Like
right.
You're
That's
like,
what I'm saying. It's because you throw it. You throw it with the same like tension on your elbow tendons,
and you're throwing everything like a fastball. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make everything look the same. And so, guys, when I was younger, the way that they were taught to throw curveballs was to snap,
right?
And it's like that's not like, yeah, you got to have
that was
the
always
snap,
such a miss,
but it's like telling a 12-year-old to do that. It's like you're leading with your elbow, and it's like that's
I remember trying to throw curveballs my whole time, and then when I finally it clicked in, I was like, "Oh, this is so much different than what I've been doing."
Right, right, right.
Like, because I had a.
I still don't. I've never known how to throw a curveball.
Oh yeah. So the curveball is the only reason I was able to keep. I never had like great velocity. I was like low 80s.
Good curveball goes a long way in high school, though.
Nobody could hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, I mean, and even a good changeup.
Same with college too, man.
Right.
I knew guys who were like 83, 84, which is like lower than average.
I will say this without qualification. I had a plus curveball and a negative.
Just a straight line negative fastball.
I mean, I had movement, but it was like low velocity I always was hoping I'd get like a growth spurt.
Through the levels I played at, it was like you see guys with one pitch and then you see guys with two. And then you see like the higher you get, you're like, it's way more well-rounded.
Yeah. Right.
So I got this offer to go to my local state college, community college, Indian River State College, full ride, everything. They like, and it's right there. So it's basically you're getting like paid to go to school.
Right.
So I go down there and I'm supposed to be, I start the season as like the third, number three starting pitcher. And we had a really good team. Terrible overall, no chemistry, yeah. But like
good
multiple draft. I was roommates with Cal Ripken Jr.'s son,
oh, cool.
Ryan Ripken. George Iskandarian was one of the best collegiate players I'd ever seen to this day. He ended up transferring to Miami, going to the World Series and everything. Nice. Seventh round draft pick. Multiple draft picks. A lot of these dudes who like were legit. And even throughout my college and pro career, I look back and I was like, that there were some fucking dudes on that team. Maybe like talent-wise, one of the best teams I played on. No chemistry. The coaches sucked. Mitch Markham. I'll fucking name drop him right now. He doesn't coach
fuck
anymore.
You, Mitch Markham. Fuck you.
But I'm only saying that. Not as a person, but as a coach, go fuck yourself. Because I had so much potential.
Sure.
And nobody worked with me at all. Nobody did shit. And so I go in there and I'm getting rocked. I'm throwing 87 to 90 over the top, like an okay changeup. I'm throwing strikes and guys are just raking me. My ERA through like, I think it was 50 innings, like 47 innings my freshman year, my ERA was almost 10. And
oh, wow.
I get just, and it was not soft contact. It was, they were hitting the ball so fucking hard off me. And I get to the end of the year and I'll never forget this. We're doing like end of year meetings. And in my head, I'm like, I have a full ride, whatever. And junior college is 2 years. And then you have to transfer or you figure out that you fucking can't play baseball anymore.
Yeah.
And so some of my teammates, they're like, we know you could like, we're not crazy. Like, you could be, like, you have potential. Like, you are not bad. You just haven't figured it. And mentally, I wasn't doing great, whatever. And so I get to the end of the year. We win, like, I don't fucking know, 14 games. We
go
14 and, like, 35 or something.
Oh,
with
wow,
the team we had is, fuck you, Mitch Markham. And we should have been great.
Yeah.
And we go, and I remember we're having, and I walk into like the coach's office. Some of the dudes are like hanging outside, right? He's got his own office. And they're like, oh, what's up, Reese? And I walk in and, you know, a dude in front of me is having his postseason meeting, whatever. Doors open. He walks out and he's like, oh, hey, Reese. Walk in. He goes, close the door, would you? And I was like, fuck. Like, that's not a good sign. And I sit down and I'm like, fuck. Okay. What's my pitch to like, stay on the team and keep my scholarship. Like, I can't afford to go to like real college. You know what I mean? Like, I need this.
Yeah.
This is how I'm paying for college. And he sits me down and he's like, Reese, you know what an enigma is? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh. Like, I remember it so specifically, like, just so out of touch with who I was. Like, I think they just thought I was some dumbass kid who, like,
yeah,
like couldn't really figure it out. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, like, and then just
he had a whole speech planned, assuming
and
you
I,
didn't
and
know
I just, that. I think I ruined it right off the bat. And to the point where he's like, well, what is it? Like, he needed my proof. And so I just had to like tell him the definition of a word, which is insane. And then he goes on, and he's like, very valid point. So he's like, we can't keep you on scholarship. Like, it's,
right.
You know, we're going to give it to this other guy, whatever. And I'm sitting there just like pleading my kid. I'm like, look, man, I know I could be good. I know I just have some shit to work out, blah, blah, blah. And I think they thought they were going to keep me there and get a guy that had my talent, but for free. And
right.
So they were like, hey, like, I didn't know what the fuck to do. So I just like, we have that talk, scholarship pulled. Basically, they're like, you're basically going to have to like earn your spot not even like a preferred walk-on. They're like, you're going to have to basically show us that you can play.
Right.
And in my head, I'm like, I know I'm better than the guys that are like some of the people here already. Like, I know that and I can figure it out. And he's like, we'll give you some time to think about it, whatever, if you want it. And in his head, I know he was like, he's coming back. This kid, yeah. He's like, mentally, he's out of it, whatever. And I come back like later that day with my like release paper. I'm like, I need you to sign this so I can talk to another school right now. Like I was like, and he was like, oh. And so he signed it and out. And so I called one of my buddies from high school, one of the somehow worse junior colleges than mine that year. And I was like, do you guys have any scholarships? And he was like, oh, let me go ask. And so I had to drive up to Jacksonville, Florida, wow, like 2 weeks later without a place to play the next year, to Florida State College at Jacksonville, which is a junior college in Jacksonville. And I drove 3 hours with my dad to a walk-on tryout with high schoolers.
Damn.
And I had to try out for this team with high schoolers. And I clearly was like miles ahead. They were like, sure, who the fuck is this guy? But I threw the bullpen, like a live bullpen with batters, I think, to the guy who ended up being my catcher the next year.
That's awesome.
James Fitz, but not this Fitz.
Not the it's James Fitz works, that is a comedian in Tacoma.
No, Connor Fitz. Sorry, not James Fitz. Fitz, different though. We call entirely. Him Fitzy. Yeah. I keep thinking, every time I see James Fitz, I'm
baseball
like,
nicknames are the worst, by Fitzy. The way. It's just the really last are. Name with a Y on the end, yep, of it. It stinks.
Yeah.
I had the catcher that I played. So I played, I have a similar, I played for the school that I went to, but I started playing baseball year round,
uh-huh,
and the only thing that cramped, I had stopped playing all other sports, but I was doing plays.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So it is like kind of similar. And so I played, I played 2 years of JV, and it was, I murdered JV. I was like, I was a pitcher.
I was pretty good on JV.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best still.
I pitched like 54 innings in a season, which is a lot for JV. I was like, every other game starting pitcher,
sure,
sub 2 ERA, like 75 strikeouts, yeah, 11 walks, like very good for that. And the problem I had was the varsity team had like 6 D1 players on it, which, yeah, is no, not six, not 6 D1 players, 6 college players on it.
Still though,
very
going to college to play baseball is still at any level a feat in itself. That's like,
listen, becoming a varsity high school baseball player from like starting at Little League, right, how many people play Little League,
right,
is wild.
Yeah, yeah. The stats are,
it's narrowed even further to college and then to pro, and then pro is not what, when people say pro baseball, they think Major League Baseball.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I've let a lot of people down when I tell my
no,
story.
No, for sure. It's funny because I know baseball, it's incredibly, right, impressive to me, but to everybody else in the world,
they're like, who'd you play for? I'm like, I'm about to really disappoint them.
Because also technically that Puget Sound Senior Baseball League is like, it's semi-pro, sure, technically, which, yeah, is stupid.
A little bit of pro.
It's stupid. It's, yeah, very, it's not pro. But I played with guys like the team I played on. There was a guy that played double A on our team. Most of the guys played college.
Right.
I didn't play college. I had so my shoulder basically, I don't know what, I never got it like, you know, when you're playing, you're like, I was working at a box factory, yeah, going to community college, not as an athlete. Right. Getting an MRI was out of the question.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm
so
not.
It felt like my shoulder was separating every pitch, yeah, basically. And so I still don't know exactly what the problem was. I actually threw a baseball a couple months ago with my father-in-law, and it felt okay, yeah, which is the first time in
mentally,
like,
or physically.
Physically,
you're like, we're bonding here.
No, yeah,
okay,
we.
It felt okay. It was. He still doesn't really know me, but
he doesn't love me like he loves his daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still a stepson. So,
son-in-law, what the fuck? Sorry. Don't
I thought
you
said
dare.
Stepdad.
No. But yeah, the. So you go, you're at college. That's like, again, like that's, it's also very funny to me that at every stage, baseball is telling you to quit, like get,
dude,
stop doing this.
Yeah.
And this is very much what comedy's like, because you have to have the delusion, this delusion you have, which is the results are telling me the absolute opposite.
Right.
But I know something, which is that
it's like
I'm
this gut.
Good enough.
It's like when you know, you know. It's so cliche, but that's always been.
Right.
It's like when you know, you know. And I knew, and I was like, I don't know when, but if like someone just gives me another shot,
Right.
I swear to God, I will fucking
You'll feel
do
that
it.
Way about a bit sometimes where you're like, the crowds have hated it to this point, and everybody yeah. that loves me also right. hates this right. joke. Right. I'll do this with my wife all the time. I'll tell her a premise. She's like, don't ever do that on stage. Yeah.
And you're like, and then I'm going
to
do it.
Like 6 months later, I'm like, that's that joke that you told me to never do. She's like, well, you didn't tell it like that.
And I'm like, I know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, how many times have you seen
I
me?
I've stopped doing that with people where I'm like, I got this idea for a bit, because it never, ever is what it is right. going to be. And they're like, well, you got to work on it. I'm like, I know. I'm just telling you the idea of it.
Yeah.
I just got to wrap the story up for the college career, because I go to FSCJ and we're just like memories made for like great chemistry. We were still bad, but like that, I don't even remember my freshman year really. Like right. the relationship.
It's just trauma.
It's trauma, but it's like, even then it's like the everyone was very solo, like, hey, like, when am I, like, I'm trying to get drafted, which is very valid to yeah. be like looking out for your own career. But it's like, we're freshmen in college, man. Like, what do we do? Like, and I went to this next school and it was just a fucking group of degenerates. Like, like, dude got DUI in the middle of the season.
Hell yeah.
Like, we all hit it from the coaches. Like, it was insane. Like, it nuts, dude. It was crazy. And we were bad, but it was like so much fun. Everyone got along. Like, I have a lot of my friends in the baseball world are still from that team.
Oh, nice.
Like, I keep in contact. Some best friends for life are in there. But it's like, I go there and I have my ERAs like mid twos.
Nice.
I have some of the best stats in the state. And like, this team that I had gotten cut from is still bad. And they're watching me do this. And then I get signed to Winthrop University on basically a full ride, which is like a mid major.
Here?
Winthrop University in South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
They're like a basketball school.
What am I? I'm thinking of something else.
There's a Winthrop, Massachusetts, and a Winthrop, Washington. Like, there's a bunch of there's a Winthrop, Iowa. There's a bunch of towns.
Can I pee really fast? I'm sure. Very distracted.
You got to pause it.
Yeah. We'll let it all run.
Do I stare into the camera?
Please do some plugs or whatever.
Okay. How long have we been going?
Like an hour.
Oh, nice. Do some plugs. Okay. You can find my Instagram, reese.green, reece.green. I am getting started on some new stuff. I'm going to have hopefully a new baseball podcast pretty soon where I interview current and former Major League Baseball players, not about baseball, where I sit down and I talk with them about who they are, what their interests are, how big their cocks are, if they so choose, if they have a cock. I don't know. Maybe they're hiding something. Yeah, I don't know when this is coming out. I don't really have, I'm starting a new show under Parlor Tricks Comedy. That's, I've been producing shows under that brand for a few years now with some buddies of mine. Richie Armani and myself are starting a new show at Showboat in Seattle. Our first one is December 17th at Showboat in Seattle. It's a Sunday. It's a professional showcase. You know, me and Richie are going to get up there, shoot the shit a little bit, talk about what's new in our lives. Gonna be a good time, and then you get to see some very professional comics. It's gonna be a great time. Instagram's the only thing. What if I did the rest of the podcast like this? Yeah. I should have done the whole thing like this. Maybe that's what I'll start doing on podcasts. I'll do everyone with a different accent. Yeah. I hope he doesn't cut this. That'd be a real shame. Is anybody even listening at this point? This has been quite a while. If anybody is listening, thank you so much for doing that. This is my ASMR voice. I've never been to London. I assume that this is what some of them talk like over there. This is their voice. You know, I've always thought that the British accent is a little bit softer than the Australian accent. And that the Australian accent is like the Boston accent of the British accent. You know, it's a little bit harder. You know, it's a little bit harsher on your ears. Yeah. I don't know how to do that one. I better be getting paid for this. I can hear him. Oh, there he is. Yeah, cunt. I didn't say the N-word. I can't give you that ammo.
I just
I was talking in different accents and I forgot to clock out of it.
I just took care of some club business. There was a guy out there asking about free passes.
Whoa.
He would have been very offended if you said the N-word, is what I'll say about him.
Whoa.
Oh.
I'm glad you didn't.
He loves N-words?
Yeah. Anyways, I'm not, including any of this.
Cut. There's just a beep. Cut. But not a beep like covering the word. Yeah, no. Cut.
We'll let the words stay. Maybe
quick,
add a couple.
Quick finish to this story because I was rambling and there is an end.
You're going to Winthrop. That's, I wanted to end it at the end, but my bladder was just dying.
I get basically a full scholarship. I have a great year. My second year, like a turnaround year where people are like I would have, I think I, if I had had a year like that before, I would have been at like a Power 5 school.
Right.
Like I definitely had interest from Power 5 schools, but it was like, you know, I had a great season, but, also, you know, the money, it's like I needed real scholarship money.
You need the full scholarship.
So Winthrop was like, hey, you have good grades, enough to get like a little bit of grant or whatever for having good grades. And then like, I definitely got a lot of baseball, like a ton of baseball money.
Right.
So I go there and my pitching coach, Clint Chrysler, who's now the pitching coach for NC State University.
Nice.
He was my pitching coach there for 2 years, but he coached with Mitch Markham at Stetson University years prior and is still friends with him. And so when I became like, I was like the Division I Friday night starting pitch. Like I was like the guy my senior year, like 90 to 93 with Sink, like as a starter. And
yeah,
he would always call him and he's like, yeah, Reese is doing pretty good. and at that point, he was no longer the coach at Indian River State College and he's doing real estate now. So I'm like, I feel like I won, you know. I feel like that was my cherry on top, and that like closure for me. I was like the whole time. I was like, even though I'd already proven myself basically at that level, I was like, I'm doing this to fuck you, like fuck
even
you.
Comedy has so much of that too, where you're like, you wouldn't book me, and
but
now?
That, yeah, but that's also where like I don't take it to heart with booking because I'm like I know there's like comedy's a way weirder like interpersonal thing, like a community of, and I don't
sure,
and comedians are psychos, like you
that's
know what I mean?
The biggest thing
that, and that leads to how they treat and see other people, and it's like right. Dude, I don't know, I'm just, I like to hang, I would, this is gonna be my career, but it's like I'm working at it, but it's like I don't,
I think also like the way the problem with the analogy and where comedy is more stupid is
definitely more stupid for
it's
sure.
It's very rare that a coach is also a player. But a booker is very often
yeah,
a comedian
yeah, yeah,
who
yeah,
views you as some threat to their yeah, status in comedy.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah, that's so funny too. Yeah, and if a coach was a player, I did play with some of those people in the Czech Republic who were like manager coaches, but it was like they were still pretty good players.
Sure,
you know they weren't like trying to fuck everyone.
Well, that's
like,
when I played at the. There was no like coach for the
Sure.
Senior, but
you
there's
show
like
up
a
with
captain.
Beers in the dugout. Yeah.
No, that is absolutely not what that
what?
Is.
What?
No, dude, this is real baseball. It's not softball.
Hey, I played in the West Coast League and got fucked up in a dugout once.
Okay, well, that's a different. Well, first off, you were probably a starting pitcher who wasn't pitching that day?
The whole weekend, yeah. That's why I got fucked up. 4th of July weekend, Chico, California, in front of 6,000 people. My pitching coach came up to me in the middle of the game. He's like, hey, like they knew we were drinking. It was like me and the two other guys of the rotation who weren't pitching that weekend.
Yeah.
And he came up and he's like, what's up, man? You having a good time? And I was like, oh yeah. And we were fucking hammered. And you know, I'm like shitting on the crowd. Like we're like at the top of the dugout, like talking shit, whatever, and we're losing. But like he comes up, he's like, you need a breath mint? And I was like, nah, I'm good. And he goes, I think you need a breath mint. I was like, okay, got it. I should dial it back a little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League is a bunch of dudes in their 30s taking it too seriously. So there's no beer in the...
Of in course.
The, but anyways, my point is, the guy who was like the captain would also be like the starting second baseman.
Right, right.
It's like a scrappy... He's,
right,
like, he's
right.
Exactly the guy you would expect to become like a high school coach.
Right.
But that does not... Like
have you ever coached baseball?
Not
I know,
in
I know
any,
you have
not,
two girls and not.
Well, neither of my kids are old enough to play sports yet.
Oh, so. I don't know. You're,
I have a 4-year-old.
You
and
could
a
be like, I have a
14-year-old.
Old.
No, I could. Cool. I could physically for sure. I've been coming for a long time. Oh,
nice. Same, you. A couple years.
Yeah. I no, like, I. What did I? I umpired. I don't know if I ever want to coach.
Dude,
I,
coaching sucks.
Yeah, it's like especially like I know people who are coaches. Parents are horrible to him.
When
I was a ref. I was a ref. I refereed basketball, soccer, and I umpired baseball. And dude, it's like the parents are terrible. I was fucking 14 years old, and
they're like, "What are you doing?" And you're like, "I don't know, man."
I almost had to run a dude as an umpire that was I played with his son.
Yeah.
Like actively at that moment, I was on a team with this.
They
son.
Don't see you as Casey anymore. Yeah. They're like, "What the fuck are you doing out
there?"
Yeah,
and it's like balls and strikes, and he's 90 degrees from the plate.
Of course, dude. Yeah. People are not even seeing the strike zone, and they're like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
I remember
Jerry Schaefer, by the way. I'll call you out, Jerry Schaefer.
Yeah. I love that we're getting violent now. Yeah, I'm dropping names. I don't give a. But
I'm gonna be a pussy and
Mitch
bleep
Markham
all these
will never
in.
Hear this.
Mitch Markham is.
I'll email.
I'm sending
it
to Mitch Markham.
Just go for it, man. I don't give a fuck.
I wanted to tell you one thing. My the only catcher I ever trusted. My high school best friend was a catcher, not a good catcher. He one time I was like, "Hey man, you got to give me locations," and he's like, "Throw it wherever you want."
Yeah,
and I was like,
"I promise, I'll catch it."
It's not how it
works.
You're
like, "I know you won't."
Well, no, it's not even that he won't catch it. It's like I need a spot to throw to.
Right, yeah. I need a target.
He wanted to just be in the middle and move his glove. And I'm like, also, the umpire's not going to call it if you move a ball. Like, that's how lazy he was as a catcher. I had a dude, Jake Davidson. He became the drummer for Aiden. That's why he quit junior year and toured the world. It was like a band.
I knew it was a band, but I didn't know how big the band was.
Yeah,
but
they toured Europe and shit.
Okay.
And but it was very funny because he also was the only catcher I've ever trusted to, like, I never would shake him off.
Right.
He would give me a location, a pitch, and I wouldn't even
here you go.
Acknowledge it.
That's the best.
Dude, it was magical. I've never had more fun playing baseball than just like going out and execute the pitch.
Yeah. That's my senior year, I was the only, and at Division I baseball, it's like their coaches are calling games, and like I'm sure at this level, if I was playing, like things would be different.
By the way, I found out later the coach was calling a lot of these pitches.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's how you know. But at the time, it was probably very nice to be like, we got some fucking chemistry.
Yeah,
like this.
But
is
I also
great.
Trusted that coach too, which you play a lot of like. You know, I'd play like fall ball and it's like somebody's dad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not letting this guy call the game. He's fucking stupid.
That's also why I knew in the back of my head throughout high school and college that like I had that mindset of what you just said. I'm like, this is just some guy who like doesn't know shit. Like,
right.
And it's like that's why I still had the glimmer of like, okay, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know I could be right because it's like first time in college, there's some fucking old white dude who's been coaching high school for 24 years and nobody's fired him. And it's like, how have you never been to state title once in like almost 30 years?
Yeah.
At this huge school, it's like the talent's fucking here. Like Alex Cobb went to my high school, and it's like, have you never? How did you never win anything?
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that stayed in my head. But like, I remember my senior year, I was roommates with my catcher. His name is Babe. Babe Thomas. And he...
there's a lot of
he's the man.
Homophobic innuendo in this. Available for this.
The Babe. Power hitter. But he was
pitcher,
my catcher.
They call one guy Babe.
Yeah, yeah. We had sex a lot. but like baseball sex, yeah. And I was the only pitcher on the staff that year that I was allowed to just... Babe would call the games.
Oh, it's
so I would go out there and he's like, just go do your thing. But it also plays into Clint Chrysler letting me be me. Like he knew who I was as a person and a player. So he was like, yeah, I let you do what you do because I see it works for you.
Right.
If it didn't, we would rein it in. And like, there were some guys who tried to be all like, you know, weird or fun, but it's like guys who are now playing minor league baseball and might be in the big leagues in a year or two. And it's like, those guys have fun, but it was like, hey, you guys need to lock it in a little bit because you're, you know, it's letting loose a little bit, but it's like that chemistry of just going out there and it's like, all right, I trust what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, that was my coach, which I actually don't, he and I have a salty relationship now, but, so I won't mention his name and give him, well, I'm giving him praise, but
I can't let him hear him.
Yeah. But, good. He, one time he like called a 3-2 curveball.
Nice.
And I was like,
hell yeah.
So earlier in the year he had been like, I like shook it off. And he'd been like fighting me to just like, just let Jake, just call what Jake says. And I was like, because I'm very analytical.
Right.
And I threw a 3-2 curveball and it struck the guy out. Maybe even called strike, like an in the strike zone curveball.
Sure.
And he was like, hey, would you have ever thrown a 3-2 curveball if you were choosing your pitches? I was like, fuck no. And he's like, this is why you need to let me do it, because you have a great curveball. Let's use it.
God, I love throwing like 3-2 or behind in the count off speed. Oh, guys are like, what the fuck are you doing? I do a lot of, now it's pretty big in baseball because it is, people have seen, and even in Major League, they were talking about on the World Series, but like arm side, like right on right changeups.
Right.
That's something I did a lot. And it, cause it's like that, they were like, you can't be doing that. And I was like, why? Like,
yeah,
no one sees that. And I had a good fucking changeup. Like, that was like probably my, one of my better pitches out of three.
So, but let's talk about when you go pro. Sorry,
sure, sure.
But just the only reason I'm even cutting you
off.
Yeah,
we got to wrap it up. Is, my bad.
I got 15 minutes. You didn't want to be here for more than an hour. You hate the fact that you're
still here. Shut up. This is slander.
So you go, you play at Winthrop, your senior year Friday night starter.
Right. I'm getting, I got a lot of interest from MLB teams, but like no leverage in the draft. I'm a senior. It's like, I'm going to be a senior signed, which I knew.
What, and so just, I mean, I don't know what, like the people who like this could range to, from comedy fans to baseball fans or whatever. Senior sign means you don't have the leverage of being able to go back to college.
And sign for a lot of money with a major league team or an organization, not a major league team.
And they're drafting you, well, and probably it wasn't this way now, but they're drafting you later in the draft.
Could be early if they can get you for a good sign, maybe like 10th round or something.
They might draft you to use you as a way to hold money
for
other,
someone else.
So you may be early and they may overpay you slightly.
Yeah,
but they're still gonna fuck you compared to the guy they draft maybe a round later.
Some high schooler getting $3 million. You're like, what the fuck?
Baseball's the talent acquisition, especially the draft, but talent acquisition in baseball is so much different from other sports. Where being the best player is not the best way to be.
Right.
Drafted high sometimes.
And I like didn't know. I in my head I was like, I'm not gonna make. I never had that opportunity. I really blossomed my senior year, gained a lot of velocity and strength and all this. So I was like, I had a good year. And I was like, yeah, I'll probably sign. It was like the Mariners, the Rangers, and I think the Padres were the three teams that were actively like calling me and stuff.
Wow.
And they were like the last day before the draft. I remember it's the first time I'd taken acid. and I had taken some acid right before the day of the draft or whatever. The first day. I knew I wasn't going to be
like
on the
you and Don Larson have baseball acid experience.
The first day. And so, but I wasn't tripping yet. But I get a call from the Padres scout, whatever. And they were like, hey, man, yeah, like be on the lookout for a call on the third day, which is like rounds 15 through 40 at the time. And I was like, all right, man, cool. Looking forward. So in my head, I was like, I'm for sure getting drafted. But I didn't take any of the interviews or questionnaires seriously. Like, I was always like, what's the funniest thing I could say in this moment? Like, who's your, like, they had seen me as a player. They had my scouting reports. They had all, like, they had seen what they were going to see. But there was a lot of interviews that are like, who are they as a person? Like, a sit down, like, their personality test. There's a lot of those, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to sit down on the computer and do all these things with, like, who do you relate with? Like, who do you project as? And they'd be like, who do you look up to as an idol? And I'd be like, Tanya Harding. Like, that was like Mike. And they were like, we don't like that, isn't it? Right? Like, it was shit like that. Or like, I was like, I'm going to be a comedian. Like, just shit where I was like, I don't know, man. I never saw myself as a big leaguer. So like,
who's the funniest big leaguer? Like Barry Zito or somebody like that?
Joe Kelly, bro.
Joe Kelly.
That's who I'm working with their brand to start my own like podcast kind of thing. But I move on. I don't get drafted. 3 days, even like my coaches are, they're like, you hear anything? I'm like, no. And they're like, what? Like, I was like, I don't know. So then draft goes by, last pick, don't get picked. And all people are hitting me up. They're like, bro, what? And I was like, I don't know. I was kind of disappointed because that would have been the real cherry on top for like getting cut my freshman year, eventually get drafted. Doesn't happen. I get some free agent interest, but my buddy was playing in Australia at the time and I don't get drafted. And in my head, I was like, that seems way more fun than signing a free agent contract for $500, getting sent to Missouri for 4 months and then getting cut. Right.
Yeah.
I was like, you want to send me to Australia? You're going to pay for the flight. You're going to give me a car. You're going to give me like a side job to make more money, like extra money or whatever. They set me up with a place to live. And I was like, let's do that. That was the start of me going like international.
So but did you ever play domestic professional baseball?
Never played in the United States.
I thought you played.
I had some, once I got back, it was like independent league stuff, but I was like, I don't want to play anymore. Like I decided when I was done in the Czech Republic after over a year of being out of the country and like it was senior year of college, Australia, Czech Republic, all just like, it was like 90 something innings, 88 innings,
yeah,
like 70 something innings, just back to back. It was like a full major league season. And I was like,
that's like 250 innings, which is unheard of today.
I was like, I'm beat the fuck up. Like, yeah, it might not have been that many, but it was very close. 200 innings, whatever it was. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, I traveled the world for free. I'm young.
What
I want to do
like in the Czech Republic
better than Australia. I didn't play really? In the ABL. A lot of people think I played in the ABL. I played in the league under that because they were the ones who paid me to go out there.
Right.
But a lot of the imports, that's what they call us. There's like only so many that can play. It has to be Australians out there, right, or whoever. But I was like clearly the best pitcher in the league that year. Like I won like, I was like one vote away from MVP or whatever.
You won the Cy Young.
Cy Young over there. Fucking Dan under Cy Young.
It's just the same award. With
it's just, yeah, the same award. They say it funny. But a lot of guys over there, if they have an off week from their, they call it the state league, they'll get called up to the ABL team. In my pitching schedule, I think they did it on purpose to where I couldn't go play for the Perth Heat because they were like, then you might get injured. Or, like, you don't come back and play for, like, damn, either one. And I was like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. It, like, it would have been cool, but it's like, it's not a career thing. I was like, I don't give a fuck. We, you know, it was a good time. And then once you're international, you're in that world. So it was like, hey, where do you want to go? I had a guy in the Czech Republic. He was like, send me your video, whatever, in the stats. And they were like, here's a contract. Sent me over there. But the Czech League was like a legit fucking, you're playing at smaller stadiums. You're going around and like there's fans there, like real
that's
fans.
Cool.
There.
I would have thought that it was the very opposite of that.
Every country in Europe, not every country, but a lot of countries in Europe have a league, and Czech is probably in the top three in Europe.
Wow.
It's probably like Italy, Netherlands, and like Czech Republic, I would say.
Yeah, the
that's my guess.
Sneakily will throw, well, they'll sneak a player into Major League Baseball.
But it's always like people from like the Caribbean islands.
Yeah. Holman. Did you ever remember Greg Holman played for the Mariners?
No.
He was
Xander Bogaerts is.
Yeah, I think Vladimir Ballantyn is.
Yeah.
Greg Holman
was a lot of guys.
He was like a two true outcomes guy, like an all strikeouts and home runs,
a
great fielder, but never probably would have hit enough to stay in the majors. But he got stabbed to death by his brother. He was a Mariners prospect.
And
I think his brother had like mental illness, and he like I don't think they were like. So this is like years ago this happened.
Right.
But
that's nuts.
Yeah, but so the Mariners have had a couple guys. So I believe that him and his brother were on.
They had a little unit. This guy murdered.
I know they had a ragtag
like,
bunch. Remember Carlos Peguero, the guy that would just swing.
Yeah,
through,
dude.
Like, swing. He like almost the like spin in the batter's box.
That's what I want to watch when I watch baseball.
Yeah,
that's what, go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bring steroids back. Not that I'm not playing. Oh my god!
I believe that there was a rumor that his wife stole from Felix Hernandez's wife.
I don't think that was a rumor. I think it came out.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it's that also. I remember I was like, I knew they made so much money, but it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars that Felix just didn't notice.
Right. No,
it's
I
like,
know.
What?
What's the most money you ever made in a baseball season?
Not much.
Really?
Couple grand.
Oh, man, that's the. I think that's the thing that people when you say.
Baseball,
they don't appreciate is like,
but also minor leaguers just this year passed a thing with the players union to finally get livable, like United States, like if you are a Yankees AA prospect, you're making finally a livable wage.
Well, that's so this is what people
for the
don't
first
know.
Year ever
to be a minor league baseball player, you basically have to come from a rich family
you got to be the signing bonus, like that's how you sustain yourself.
To be a non like an undrafted or a low draft pick.
Sure, yeah. You got to be like, I'm going to fucking ride this out. But it's interesting. It's like, I knew guys where it's like AA, like on the verge of maybe AAA or big leagues, like working at Bass Pro Shop.
Right.
Right? Where it's like, oh, hey, what are you doing?
It's so much
like
comedy.
I'm almost major leaguer. It's like, what, dude?
It's so much like comedy in that way where you'll be like, that person was on TV. And now they're a barista.
I am literally. I'm a. It happened today. It's like I've headlined like small clubs or like open for big names, and then I go to work and people are like, "Give me my fucking coffee," and you're like, put a gun into my mouth. Yeah, like, or you see another comedian come in and you're like,
oh, that's brutal.
It happened today. I'll tell you off air. I'm not talking about it on air, but it destroyed me.
I'm yes, I want to know that.
Oh my God.
I used to, and we'll end it on this, and you can give me something. I used
and you
to
can
come
give
I remember
$20 or something.
Is that, yeah, I can give you $20.
I would like $20.
Yeah, I'll give you $20.
Cool. You were like, fuck, I thought your price was higher. Nice. That's how well I'm
I got
doing.
Shook down
That's
at
how
the end
well
of the
I'm
podcast.
Doing, folks.
Yeah, I got shook down at the end of the podcast. No, you did drive all the way to Tacoma. I appreciate that. Yeah. I would go into work after a night of killing.
Right.
And this is back when I worked in an office. And I would be like, these pieces of shit do not know that they are working with a fucking star.
Oh, bro. All the Vietnamese ladies at my coffee shop don't know they're working with the funniest motherfucker out here 2022.
That's true. Also, but then I would go in, I'd bomb, and I'd come in the next day, and I'd be like, thank God for this job.
Straight up, dude. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Dude, tip me, please. Like, I see someone leave a $6 tip, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Seattle. Like, thank you, tech workers. That's the only time I'll ever say it. But yeah, but thank you for having me. I'm glad to finally talk about baseball.
I know it's been a long time in the making, but all right.